Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live today from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Trumpet Radio, KPCG, and you can find us online at kpcg.fm and, of course, at thetrumpet.com, too. The other day, I saw somebody try to cheer someone else up by saying, "My thoughts are with you." This just demonstrated to me how secular society has become. It wasn't even a couple years ago that we used to say thoughts and prayers at the very least. But now we have to get rid of the prayer aspect of that common phrase. And I was just a little bit irritated by that way of speaking because thoughts don't really do anything. Thoughts don't make any impact. Yet prayer absolutely does. But that's the problem, because today so many people are not familiar with prayer, how to pray, what to pray about, if their prayers even matter at all, if God even hears them. So they don't even bother saying they'll pray for people anymore. That's just become more and more common within the last couple of years. I've also noticed how common it is during the lockdown for people to tell each other to stay safe. And again, I was just wondering, what does that even mean? Does that mean we should just lock ourselves in our homes? Is that the way to stay safe? Can we just never go outside again? Is that really the best solution, the best way to stay safe? I guess as you can tell, it does cause me some consternation when people say things that can't be put into practical action. There's a whole lot of examples like that. I don't want to spend the whole program talking about that, of course. But there are a couple of obvious solutions to these types of situations where maybe someone is going through a tragedy, or maybe we do want to stay safe. And those solutions do lie in prayer. Prayer is the answer. So often, that is the first thing we should be doing when we're trying to respond to life's trials, scenarios that seem outside of our control. Where should we turn? There is an answer. There is a way that we can deal with things that maybe naturally would not be our first solution, our first response. I also was thinking about this some more, even as I was driving over to the radio studio this morning, because I received a book in the mail right before I drove over here. It's titled United States of Socialism. What ideology in human history is more anti-God, more atheist, godless than socialism? And it's twin brother communism. These are ideologies that elevate human leaders to the level of God. This ideology has only been around since 1917, and yet it is already responsible for the deaths of hundreds of millions of people. Is it any surprise that when socialism is beginning to take root in the United States, we're becoming more violent than ever before? These riots going on in America are different. There's something about this where it really does seem like we'll never go back to normal again. But so much of that comes from this godless communist ideology. It's so bad. It's so extreme that if anyone dares to talk about praying for forgiveness, praying for those who took perhaps criminal action, maybe police officers who caused a death in Minnesota. If you even suggest praying for those police officers and their families, you get viciously ridiculed. But what does God think about prayer in these instances where there is a shocking amount of national disunity, nation-destroying violence? Would things be different if we all prayed for each other? If we all prayed for our enemies? We do have a book available for you for free at thetrumpet.com. It's titled How to Pray. And there is so much in here showing that every human being needs prayer. We all need it desperately. Without God in our lives, we are pretty much helpless in so many different scenarios. And this is a message that we have to get out there. We have to show people the need for prayer. In the former prophets, Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Flurry wrote, "We must fight to do spiritual battle every day. We have to fight to remain faithful to the great God. We have to fight to get our prayer in. We have to fight thinking that we are too busy to pray. If we get too busy to pray to God and don't fight to put Him first in your time, then you are in the carnal zone. Never allow that to happen. This world is in the carnal zone. That is why there is rioting. That is the reason we're suffering as a nation right now. There is no love, there's no forgiveness, there's no prayer for each other. Matthew 5, verse 44, these are the words of Jesus Christ Himself. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. This is something that's not even a thought in those rioters. Praying for someone who they view as a monster, as a racist. How could you possibly pray for someone like that? Yet that's exactly what Christ commands. And then he says, verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. God has a whole lot of patience. He is certainly willing to forgive at all times. And as soon as we do repent and commit to changing our sinful ways, He will give us that forgiveness. But He does give sunshine to what you would call good people or evil people, or rain to good people and evil people. All human beings will be judged by God according to His perfect timing. It's not up to us to judge other people, because God is doing that according to His time. All we are expected to do is pray for our enemies. Treat people well. Treat people like we would treat ourselves, even if they're not doing the same to us. It does take a lot of prayer, though, to do that. Have you ever tried praying for someone who is your enemy? For someone who is your arch rival, your bully? For someone who seems to have it out for you? It is certainly something that is difficult, especially at first. Praying for someone who probably wouldn't care if you died. I mean, that's not easy to do at all. Yet it's what God wants. Matthew 5, verse 46 says, "For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so?" So at that time, the publicans, you know, those might have been the tax collectors, some of the people in society who were not looked upon with too much kindness. They were sort of viewed as the lowly of society. And Christ is saying, well, even the lowest people, even the people you esteem the least in society, will be nice to people who are nice to them. That doesn't really give you much of a great reward at all. If you really want to please God, pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. What a change that would bring to the world right now. If we could all just step back and be willing to forgive. And then look at this, verse 48. All of this talk about loving your enemies, praying for your enemies, leads into Matthew 5, verse 48. "Become you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Loving your enemies is so difficult that if you learn how to do that, you are right on your way to becoming perfect. This might be the hardest thing we ever have to do. There's that, and there's also controlling the tongue. We see that in James chapter 3. That's another hard thing to do. Knowing when to say something or when not to. Knowing what to say and what not to say. It takes a whole lot of wisdom to do that too. But forgiveness takes tons and tons of love and prayer. Being willing to forgive people who hate us. And we would not have a single violent event on the streets of America if everyone thought this way and tried to live this way. Back in 2015, there was a shooting in Charleston, South Carolina, at a black church. And they invited this young white man into the church, and he waited until the closing prayer, and he stood up during that prayer and he shot 9 people dead. This was a racially motivated attack that outraged the entire country, and he was arrested. He was brought to justice by our justice system in this country. But what's so incredible about this story is the way that these church members responded. They could have had every opportunity to point to their experience as proof of this narrative that America as a whole is systemically racist. They could have really pushed for some serious agitating in the streets if they wanted to. But their response, you would have to call it godly. Mr. Flurry gave a Key of David program about this, and I will certainly link to that in the show notes once this radio show becomes a podcast. But he just showed how this is the key to everlasting peace. The way that these church members responded to a mentally ill maniac shooting 9 of their own. Here is what one of those churchgoers said. Forgiveness just opened everybody's minds up and started to heal our city. There's a lot going on since that day. You know, God took this tragedy and brought the good. And it all came from acts of forgiveness. Do you think those churchgoers could have ever reached that level of high conduct, golden character, without crying out to God in prayer for help with that? It is so hard to be willing to forgive people who would do something like that. A monstrous act, a violent, destructive, satanic act. Yet they healed because they prayed, because they were willing to forgive. That is just proof right there. Even outside of God's church, that prayer does make an impact. There are so many other examples, of course, in the Bible. There is one example here in the book of Esther. Now, this was during the Medo-Persian Empire. Esther was a Jew. She was taken as a wife for King Ahasuerus. And the king did certainly love her, it seemed like. He did think pretty highly of her from what we can read in this biblical account. But this king was deceived by one of the high-ranking members of the kingdom. Haman was extremely power-hungry, and he had murder and hatred in his heart for the Jewish people. And he actually tricked the king into agreeing to get rid of these Jews, perhaps to have an ancient version of the Holocaust. But the way that Esther, the queen, the Jewish queen, which Haman was unaware of this fact that even the queen was Jewish, but the acts of Esther really are stunning. She called on all of the Jews to pray and fast. This couldn't have been any more terrifying for all of those people, knowing that the king had already signed their death warrant. Imagine being in a situation like that. Where do you turn for help? What do you do about something like this? So you see here, there are times where you pray for your enemies. You also have to pray for deliverance from your enemies. When the persecution is closing in, when it seems like there's absolutely no way out, no escape, there really is an escape. Esther not only called all of the Jews to several days of prayer and fasting, but she also risked her own life to go before the king unannounced. Now, back during that time and in that kingdom, there was a law that anyone within the court unannounced could be put to death by the king. Even if it was the queen, if she didn't show up with advance notice, then she could die for that. But she had been praying and fasting for days before she did this, Esther 5, verse 2 says, "And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter." This was symbolic of her life being spared, touching this golden scepter. And then Esther 5, verse 3. Look at the way that God intervened in this situation. Look at this king's response to Esther. "Then said the king unto her, What will you, Queen Esther, and what is your request? It shall be even given you to the half of the kingdom." So, in other words, if you ask for half of my entire empire, I'll still give you even that. That gives Esther quite a lot of leeway to make her request. Esther was probably a bit hesitant to just right there on the spot expose Haman for his plot against the Jews. So she did invite the king and Haman to a banquet. Haman starts thinking that he is so special, being able to have this personal audience with the king and queen. But then Esther couldn't quite muster the courage to expose Haman at this banquet. So she invites them both to another banquet. And at that point, she does tell what Haman was plotting to do. The king was furious to find out that Haman had this diabolical plan in mind, and that it would even require the death of his own queen. But God intervened here. God opened up this king's mind to accept Esther into the court unannounced and to undo this deal he had made with Haman. Those are prayers that get results. Those are real prayers. Strong crying and tears and serious conviction. People who believe wholeheartedly that God will deliver, that God will heal minds, change minds, bring together nations that are bitterly divided, like America today. If this nation would do anything like Esther and the Jews, or like those churchgoers in Charleston, we would be talking about something totally different today. The news would look very different than it does today. So, of course, we'll get into a lot more details about how to pray to get results like that. That's what this book available to you at thetrumpet.com is all about, how to pray. Again, you can request that for free. And it is a life-changing book. This is the one habit in our lives that has to come before anything else. And it will make our lives so much better. It will give us the kind of help that we actually need. It will give us protection. It will give us deliverance. It will help us be willing to forgive people who hate us, which is probably the hardest thing we could ever do. All of that comes from prayer, from getting out of that carnal zone by making contact with our Creator, which helps us to take on more of His mind. And God is love. The Bible says that. As we make contact with God, we can be love in everything we think, say, and do. So we've just covered a couple ways today that prayer can get results, specifically when it comes to dealing with enemies. I just thought that was something that would be worth talking about, considering all that's going on right now in this country and really in the whole world. Just this one simple act of prayer for our enemies, prayer about our enemies, that God would solve the problem instead of us taking it into our own hands. What a difference that would make for our entire world. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.